Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The champ is here!
It's 5 o'clock.
12 games, 12 wins for Dan Lanning.
This is primetime on Big Ten Championship Week.
Brought to you by Mods PDX. The future of building is here.
Everyone right now is going to be patting us on the back. Who cares?
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on the Odyssey app and 1080.
You're speaking Japanese.
The Fan.
All right, nice to have you along. Good Monday. It's Rob and Suk, your sports bros. My name's Rob.
Sup, dude.
I'm a bro. Big Suk's right over there.
You are so bro-y.
Bro-y.
Sup, dude.
Well, listen, we're partying here.
Yeah. Monday Night Football right around the corner. Cleveland Browns action, catch the fever.
And yeah, they're showing Myles Garrett up there. Mm-hmm. He's gotten even bigger.
He is terrifying.
Every time I see him, he's even bigger.
Well, he's the best defensive player in the NFL, and that usually is quite a physical specimen.
But he looks like the Incredible Hulk.
Yes.
And he's so weird because, and I know he's ripped and always has been, but he just seems to be more and more ripped every time I see him, which is like every week. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's just every now and then, and there will be an NFL player that will remind you of that they are nothing like anyone else walking on the planet. And Myles Garrett doesn't even have to do anything. You just look at him. But did you see Leonard Williams, 91 yards and outran everybody?
Yeah. Sorry. We were talking about that.
That's just, if you've ever wondered, like every dumbass that's like, I could have played. No, you couldn't. And I couldn't either, because Leonard Williams is in that league. And that's what I found out, was that Leonard Williams and guys like him, and they're everywhere, way, way better than me. And they're just physical freaks. Dude, that dude was hauling on that pick six.
Could I tackle Myles Garrett? I don't think I could take him down.
What you would have to do is you wait for him to run you over. And then as you're falling down, you grab an ankle and then you just try to bite him. He just, like, nom, 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 nom.
I bite his kneecap?
Yeah, you hold on. That was a technique when you were getting bull rushed and you were going to getting ass over tea kettle. You just grabbed him and hope that you didn't get called for holding and fall down and hope he goes.
No, but
you.
I'm just saying, let's say he walks in here right now. Yes. He's like, take me down.
No.
To the ground.
No.
And it's just me.
No.
I don't think I'd take him down. How the hell am I going to get him down?
There's zero chance that that's happening.
But hit him in the nuts?
I don't think that would work either, because then that would just piss him off and then he would squish you. He is a terrifying human being.
All right. Well, glad we covered that.
Yeah, we did.
Coming up here, Matt Eberflus is never going to coach again, or Flus. And
you know, sometimes you get one of those opportunities, and that's enough.
We'll get back to our college football Russian window plunge, where we'll talk about Oregon beating Washington.
Yeah,
it's about damn time.
It was quite handily too.
Grief. Right now, though, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victor Rico's Mexican Food. Discover Victor Rico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorricos.com.
Number five.
Scoot Henderson, do you remember him?
I do remember old Scoot.
He is the prize guard for the Portland Trailblazers.
Prize may be a bit of a strong word there.
Well, they're saying that he could return this week, as they had an MRI on his quad there. He just has a little contusion in there. Yeah. Could miss a few games, but he is listed questionable for tomorrow night's game against the Clippers. So generally good news about
Scoot.
Unless it's a deep contusion like DeAndre Ayton had.
Look, at this point, I think we can all admit that the expectations for Scoot have been lowered, and I mean
significantly.
So much for the whole generational talent, and sometimes people come through and there is no adjustment to the NBA, and turns out the undersized guard that struggled to shoot the ball in the G League, that's not a can't-miss prospect in the NBA.
Robert Williams still in concussion protocol. He will not make the trip to L.A.
Yeah. I hate to tell you this, too. It sounds like the Blazers are just about out of the NBA cup.
Really?
Number four.
Yeah, there's still, I guess, a weird scenario where they could find a way backdoor in. But, yeah, the NBA cup not coming to Portland this year.
Oregon men's basketball has jumped to number 12 nationally.
Hey, dude, all those dudes, they just keep winning.
They won the Players Era Tournament.
Yeah. And by the way, those players got $1.5 million to split from that.
Yeah, well, they said that it's not cash. That what they do is they give them, they have to perform services and activities.
Huh?
It's like an NIL deal. It's not just, here's cash. They have to perform services and activities.
They got a real good idea what those services and activities are going to be. Look, they're getting $1.5 million to split.
They said $9 million for the winning Players Era Tournament team.
$9 million?
I read that. Yeah,
I thought it was a $9 million split for the tournament.
Maybe it's the whole tournament.
I think the Ducks got $1.5 million to split for winning it.
Yeah, yeah. The winner got $1.5 million. Everyone got money for playing.
And that's on top of a base that everyone was getting just for participating.
Makes more sense.
But they had a couple big wins, including knocking off the number 9 team in the country. I mean, they went from unranked to what, the 12th?
Pretty good little club.
The Brush does it again.
Pretty good little club.
Take that, Brush. Masters Pete.
Yeah, Masters Pete, you idiot. You want to fire that guy? Good grief. Oregon, a 3.5-point favorite over Penn State in the Big Ten championship game. They are in Indy.
I'm intrigued by this because you know me.
I do know you.
I've been a little soft on Penn State most of the year. I don't think Penn State is a top 3 team. But, you know,
this is a good matchup.
It's a good matchup.
Come on, this is going to be a good game.
And believe it or not, I think Penn State, when they have the ball on offense and when they're playing defense, they will have the two best players on the field.
Yeah.
Warren, the tight end, and that Abdullah Carter, those are the two best players in this game. I don't think that Penn State has the wide receivers. I don't think they have the depth Oregon does, but this is going to be a big matchup. This is not going to be a cakewalk that Oregon's just going to bully around Penn State. I just don't trust Penn State's offense and Drew Aller.
Yeah, statistically, they're pretty damn close.
Yeah.
They both have really good defenses. Oregon obviously has a little bit better of an offense, but not by much. They run the ball. Like you said, Tyler Warren's like one of the best tight ends in the – if not, you know, he's the best tight end in the country. Very tough cover. Yeah. And Drew Aller, you know.
One of these days you think he's going to show up in a big game.
Maybe.
Keep waiting for it.
Yeah. Where else? I'm lost now. What are we doing? Oh, Cleveland visiting Denver on Monday Night Football. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Yeah.
And while Cleveland, but I get to watch Jameis, which I love. And Bo Nix is a fascinating story.
Being a man of increase.
Because he's doing great.
After a kind of a wonky start there where it did not look very good, they have got him dialed in. And since like about week four, Bo Nix is playing as well as anyone in the NFL.
Can we let that be a lesson and let's not judge rookies so early? My God. Jaden Daniels is still the odds-on favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, but Nix is now on his heels. He has 11 touchdowns and just one pick over his last five games.
Yeah.
Broncos are favored by six.
Come too far together.
That's six in Spanish.
And I think they're wearing the throwbacks, which I just love.
Yeah. But I tell you what, the Broncos' new unis, they have a good look.
Yeah, but when they do the throwbacks to the John Elway, there just isn't a better look.
They're still the best. Those should be their base uniforms.
Why? Why don't they make that the base?
What else do I have for you? Well, we've got a transfer, quarterback transfer hitting the portal. He is expected to be a hot commodity. Mm-hmm. I am talking about USC's Miller Moss announcing he is leaving the Trojans.
He said it is time to move on. And by the way, like every day now, you are just seeing a flood of guys entering the transfer portal. And not only is there money to be had, but like this is like you look at all the guys that transferred in from Oregon. If you're an all-conference player, why wouldn't you want to go play for a team that could win a national title? Like if I'm
so you're saying Miller Moss to Oregon?
No, but Oregon will get a transfer quarterback. I guarantee it.
Well, John Mateer to Oregon?
Who?
John Mateer.
Washington State's quarterback getting in the portal.
By the way, it's going to be John Mateer to Oklahoma.
Is that where he's going?
Well, I mean,
well,
that's
his OC
where
just
the OC went
OC
there.
Went,
yeah,
but yeah.
Yeah, let me wrap up this hot five.
Little bow on it there.
Well, yeah, I did want to point out that Washington State's offensive coordinator Ben Arbuckle has been hired as OC at Oklahoma.
Yeah, and there is a it's maybe it won't, but there is a strong belief that their quarterback won't be in the portal. He had a very nice year, and
so much for Jackson Arnold.
Yeah, that didn't work out so well. But yeah, this is just kind of the nature of the beast now, that if you're at a smaller school, if you're at a Power 5 school and you're not, and you're on a team that isn't really competitive, you're going to get a lot of these guys that are like, wait, I can go get a nice little chunk of change and I can play for conference and possibly national championships. Like, this is just the nature of college football now.
The Hot 5 at 5 is brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, a hit with the whole family. Order in-store, online, or delivered to your door at victorricos.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victor Rico's. Coming up next, we return to our college football Russian window plunge, where we review Oregon finally beating Washington. It's about damn time.
Mm-hmm. I think it was pretty handily, too.
So that'll be next on The Fan. Okay, back to our college football Russian window plunge. Real quick, just a quick side mention before we get to Oregon. I don't know how much of it you saw because it went on for so long, but that Georgia Tech 8 overtimes.
It was freaking nuts.
It was awesome. And I just wanted to mention that I think that the college football overtime format is just wonderful.
Yeah.
I think it's, yes, I think it's great.
Kansas I'm in a hard disagree camp. I thought that sucked.
Really?
Walking up and down the field, like that was so dumb.
Okay. That part of it is an easy change. Like, why do they make them continue
and giving
cross
them a timeout for every single flipping play? So Kirby's like, hold on. We don't like the look. We got to get in there.
I know. Yeah. Both of those things are
atrocious
easy fixes. But I think just generally the format of making them. So what is it? After two or three, you start going for two.
So on the third one, you start going for two.
Yeah. And it's just only two.
It's
like
one play.
It's just, that's great.
It kind of becomes a hockey shootout, sudden death sort of thing. And I'll tell you what, I don't know if it determines like who's the best team, but at that point it's so razor thin anyways. It certainly is fun. I'll give you that. There is, when you get down to those situations and it's a 2-point play with everything on the line, dude, your cojones get a little shrunken.
It would be fun if they just kept firing them off in rapid succession. And like, you could put the offense on one side of the field with the defense and the same on the other if you really need to flip the field. But it has to be faster than that. The way that thing dragged on was awful.
No, I agree with that, but it was still the drama that it creates.
Yeah.
And then to get the stop, and then you got to score, but then you get stopped, or vice versa, where you score first and you have to get a stop and you can't get it. Like that, Like, every which way that thing was looking like, oh, Georgia Tech's going to win. Oh, now Georgia's going to win. Oh, now Georgia Tech's going to win. Oh, now Georgia's going to win. It was awesome.
I just will never understand why a team with lesser talent wearing down, you can feel the momentum shifting and you're on the road, why you don't go for two right from the get-go and just say one play. And by the way, you've been gashing them most of the day. Why you don't just end it and say, hey, we've got one play. If I told Georgia Tech at the beginning of the game, I'll give you one play from the 2 yard line and you make it and you beat Georgia, he takes that every time.
But you're talking about the end of the end of regulation.
End of regulation. Yeah. Why you don't do that?
Well, they were up 17-0.
Like 17-0. And then Georgia came storming back.
The fumble was the absolute killer. The helmet on the ball. That was such an incredible defensive play. Yep. And like that was just.
And so that's what I'm saying. All the momentum is Georgia's way. And you know, the longer that game goes, and it favors the deeper team with better athletes, and that's Georgia. That's why I love when teams are, and I feel like it's happening where more and more teams are getting more aggressive, although we saw the verse of this, the antithesis of this with Arizona kicking to go up six, but you're seeing more teams like, we're not going to kick a field to go up six. That does nothing. We are going to end this right here, right now, going for two. And I thought it was kind of gutless that Georgia Tech kept doing that.
Well, it was good. It was a good finish. And I don't know how many lives Georgia has, but it seems like they have a million of them. Well, and they'll probably win it again.
Even though they just... This is by far the worst Georgia team that we've seen of the Kirby Smart era.
But they're going to be in the tournament.
I know. Regardless of what happens in the SEC title game, they're in.
It's crazy. Well, Oregon beat Washington finally.
They didn't just beat them. Dude, that thing was... That was over. I mean, I guess give Washington some credit. But when they got the turnover and Oregon held them to three... And then Oregon just went right down and scored. And what was that, like 21-6 at that point? You're like, yeah, game. Like Washington
never felt that way.
Washington never, ever felt like they were in that ball game. They were overmatched from the game. The first drive was just so damn easy. And then it's like,
but then Washington's first drive made me thought, okay, maybe we get a little bit of a shootout, but that was it.
Yeah, well, the quarterback, I hadn't seen Williams yet.
Yeah.
And so when I first saw him, I'm like, ooh.
He caused some problems on the first drive, and then they basically figured him out.
But then he, you know, you watch him long enough, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. It's weird. He went 17 for 20, which sounds great, but he took 10 sacks. Yeah. So.
And he's a freshman. And, but you could see, he's got some
wheels. I'll say this for Washington. You knew this was going to be a rough year. Jed Fish told you it was going to be a rough year, and indeed it was a rough year. So now where do you go from here? Do you rebuild the roster? Maybe you found your quarterback here, but these are two programs that appear to be from where they were last year, where neck and neck, Washington was a hair better both times, played for a national title, and now you look at where for the next 5 years, where these programs are heading, boy, they seem like they're light years away when for the last 2 years, Washington has been your daddy.
Isn't it wild to think that... And I think we all saw that coming, right? We saw Lanning, you know, a little revenge factor.
Yeah.
Lanning's going to get one on Washington. They're way better this year, you know.
Yeah.
Monkey off back, whatever.
Sure.
Isn't it weird to think that Oregon, we knew that the Ohio State game was the marquee game.
Mm-hmm.
And most people circled the Wisconsin game on the road as being that next game. It's like, ooh.
And it was.
And both of those... played out that way. They were, you had to watch those very close.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird to think that the other two best games of the year were Idaho and Boise State?
And the one game that you can truly say that you should have lost was Boise State. Boise was like, I can't say that Ohio State was better than Oregon. I can say that it was right there and it was the narrowest of margins. Boise State was better than Oregon. They just had a couple special teams, absolute just screw-ups where they just didn't have the athletes to hang with them. And yes, that is crazy.
Two-thirds of their season was unwatchable.
Yes.
It was.
Yes.
Two-thirds of their season, the Ducks, was the same game. Maryland, Michigan State, Michigan.
Yeah. Illinois. Yeah. Purdue.
Washington. That's six of them right there.
Yeah.
Oregon State, seven. Am I missing another one?
UCLA was in there, right?
Yes, eight.
Yeah, it just wasn't that interesting of a season. Like, if I would have told you at the beginning that Washington and Idaho, Idaho and Boise State would be the nail biters.
What an opportunity.
Like, huh?
Well, also, after the Boise State game.
Yeah, there was a lot
of heat coming from that side of the table over there.
Look, I said,
and dude, they're the only undefeated team in all of college football.
You knew there was room to get better, but especially along the offensive line. The leap they made from Idaho and Boise State and in that run game and to where they are with Ohio State, I can't speak enough about how good the improvement level has been. And as much as we're going to talk about their offense, this is a defensive football team. The defense is better than the offense. And there really isn't a ton of weaknesses when you look at complete teams. It's turned into a very good O-line. I'm not going to say it's a truly elite O-line, but it's a very, very good O-line, especially from where they were in the first 2 weeks. You have a couple good backs. You have a very, very solid quarterback. You have an NFL tight end. You have three NFL receivers. You have one of the best defensive lines in the country. You have a very, very good secondary. Linebackers, you have good linebackers. I don't think you have great linebackers. Maybe that's something that Penn State can expose, but there just isn't a lot of weaknesses on this team. And I could not have said that. We knew where the potential was, but after the first 2 weeks to see where they're at now, I think Dan Lanning and company, they've answered a lot of questions about their coaching acumen, because we knew, and this was true about Cristobal, right? We know they can recruit. We know that they can bring in athletes. Can you grow and develop? And I think this year, from those first 2 weeks on, answered a lot of questions for me about where this coaching staff's at.
Well, the two best teams they played this year were Ohio State and Boise State.
Yeah.
Does it concern you, even though those were both in the first half of the season,
yeah,
does it concern you that the two best teams they played put 34 and 32 on them?
Look,
34 and 31, sorry.
I think their defense is a lot like Ohio State's, in that it is it's a very solid group, but they're not elite. They're not. You can score points on this team.
To Penn State can score points.
Yes.
Because I don't care about Illinois and Michigan and Maryland and Wisconsin and Washington. Yes. I care about Penn State and what happens after that.
Yeah, it is.
And I have a big question about that. I don't know if Penn State has enough dudes. I wonder about it.
They don't have great receivers. They're going to have to run the ball.
They're going to have to run the ball. And you can do that against Oregon.
And get to Warren. And get to Warren.
And Singleton, their back, is getting healthy. And Drew Aller against the Marylands of the world looks great. The question is, Drew Aller in every big game kind of S's the bed.
And it feels like they handcuff him too, maybe because he can't. I don't know.
Is this where the big boy panties finally get pulled up and Drew Aller actually plays a big boy football game? Because if it does, that now you're in a dogfight. But I know Oregon in these games. I trust Dylan Gabriel. I trust their playmakers. I can't say that about Penn State. And I think with Oregon, there is not a receiver outside of Warren, their tight end, that scares you. They're going to play man on the outside, and they're going to double cover. They're going to put a safety over the top of Warren, and they're going to dare Drew Aller and Penn State to do something against him. And we'll see how that goes. I mean, that's what Ohio State did to Oregon, and Oregon got him out of that look real, real fast. Can Penn State do the same thing? And then on the other side of the ball, Abdullah Carter is the best player that Oregon will have seen on that side of the ball. And whichever tackle that he decides to go and where they move him around, can they keep him from wrecking their pass game? And can that interior of that run game, everything Oregon does is set up on their run game. And I think this is going to be a really, really fun matchup. I just think Oregon is a deeper, and I think they're a better team and more battle-tested than Penn State. But yes, to your point, Oregon is a very, very good team. Oregon is the best team in the country. But from Boise State to Ohio State to Wisconsin, there is not a single team this year that truly looks like an elite juggernaut, Oregon included. Yep. But they're
that's the fun of it.
And that's the fun of it. That's absolutely
because
the
Penn
fun
State,
of it.
Because Penn State, you know, as much as you've been ragging on Penn State, dude, they win this game, they get a bye.
Yes.
And that, you know, they win this game, that changes a lot of the narrative about them.
100%.
And so, and this is, what's it, 3.5? Three and a half,
I believe.
3.5.
I mean, if you look statistically, look what the odds makers are saying. They're saying this is nip and tuck, man. These are basically the same team. I agree with you that Oregon has shown out more than Penn State this year. Obviously, they won their big game against Ohio State and Penn State did not.
Yes.
But the Penn State game against Ohio State was close. Mm-hmm. And of course, Oregon could have easily lost that Ohio State game.
Yep.
And then what would we be saying? We'd be saying this is the exact same team. So I think these teams are really close. I trust Lanning and Oregon, and I think they have a better coaching staff and a better quarterback. Outside of that, I don't know.
I'm looking. What was James Franklin? Yeah, top five teams. And
yeah, he's 1-11.
He's 1-13.
I know.
He's 1-13.
I think it's 1-11.
No, I say it right here. Career record against top five ranked teams. 1-11. Two of those may have been when he was at Vanderbilt, perhaps.
Okay.
You know, yeah. So maybe he's 1-11 at Penn State. I just don't have faith that Drew Aller and James Franklin will pull it out in a close game. But obviously, like, the Wisconsin game, the Boise State, if you play that way, if you're Oregon, Penn State will beat you.
Yeah, they can.
But when Oregon brings their A game, I still believe that Oregon is the best team in the country when they bring their A game. But let's be honest, you know, as good as Oregon has been, as consistent as they've been, we have not always seen their A game.
Well, I think you got to credit the other team.
Absolutely.
And I feel like they will bring their A game here, but you know, the other team has good players and coaches too. So there is going to be, I just think it's going to be a great game. Yeah. I really do. I don't see Oregon blowing them out. And I think it's entirely possible that Penn State wins.
Yeah.
But I do trust when push comes to shove, execution, key plays, key third downs, not turning it over, a couple of big plays, maybe even a special teams momentum shifter play, something like Oregon has shown time and time again that they have that.
And I look at this game and I think it's going to be hard for both sides to just, you know, go on 12 play drives, right? And you're going to need big plays. And I just trust Oregon's ability. And that was the difference in, like, with Ohio State, right? They got big plays. When you look at everything from their outside receivers to Ferguson to Jordan James' ability to break one, I just think Oregon's going to get a couple of big plays. And I just am not convinced that Drew Aller and those receivers, look at their wide receivers. I don't think they have a wide receiver that cracks Oregon's rotation.
Well, but they have Warren, though.
They got Warren.
And he's a matchup problem.
He is. Which is why I fully expect to see a linebacker with a safety over the top and say, anyone but you are going to beat us. And maybe that frees up some other guys. And maybe Aller and one of those guys on the outside decides to rear up. And if that's the case, that's where the upset can occur.
I will say this. I was listening to Lanning talk about Penn State a little bit. And, you know, and we can get more into this as the week goes on. But the offensive coordinator at Penn State is a very, very good coach. His name is Andy Kotelnicki. And the reason I know him is that he was the Kansas OC last year. And Kansas's offense last year was absolute dynamite. It's part of the reason why they didn't even make a bowl this year is they lost him. Now, I think most people would be like, yeah, Penn State's offense ain't that great. No, statistically, it actually is.
Yeah,
they put up a lot of points and a lot of yards.
Yep.
But I think the key is, can they do that against the better teams? That remains to be seen. I just think listening to what Lanning was saying, Lanning said that Kotelnicki has been on his radar for a long time because what he does is Lanning goes and he watches all of the biggest explosive plays of the season all around the country. Mm-hmm. And he said the one guy who kept showing up year after year was Kotelnicki.
Yeah.
He's really good because he does a lot of shifting and a lot of motions. He can confuse the defense. I saw him do it at Kansas, and it opens things up for guys like Drew Aller and Warren is it Singleton?
Who's skinny and healthy, who's their big back.
So that, you know, the scheme thing is another element of this that not everybody talks. You know, we don't talk about that. We talk about the players and the matchups. But, you know, OC versus DC, that's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Because if Penn State can just get a couple of explosives against Oregon because of him,
then it's
that changes everything.
Ball game on.
And it was just interesting to hear Lanning talk. He's usually pretty generic about other coaches. He pointed out this dude's been on my radar. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I almost feel like he was kind of saying, I want to hire him if I lose Will Stein. And you should, because he should be at the top.
Is it possible he considered him when he did hire Will Stein?
It's possible, yeah, absolutely. And yeah, no question. So but he had been with Lance Leipold for years, but Penn State ended up getting him. But anyway, I don't know. I think this is going to be great.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And we'll talk more about it throughout the week. But by the way, it was really butt cold at Autzen on Saturday.
Oh, I can imagine. Well, it's been butt cold.
I wasn't there.
Period. Nor was I, but.
Right in the butt?
It's been very
but
cold.
But they said, oh my God.
And I'm actually kind of excited, too, that that we haven't seen, like, Ohio State Oregon would be great, but the rematch, but it's kind of fun that we get another.
A different
marquee brand. And
one know. That's supposed to be a challenge for you.
Yeah, I agree.
You haven't seen yet. I'm
excited.
All right. Up next, Matt Eberflus is going to get his own segment. Here's Buck.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Who loses first? Oregon football or basketball?
Basketball.
Have you seen the schedule?
I have not.
They may not lose for a while.
Yeah.
Well, their next game is against USC, and USC just got beat by about 40 by St. Mary's.
It was like 50, wasn't it?
It was really bad.
It was like, I think it was 71-36. 30,
yeah, they scored 36 points.
71-36.
It would be just like a college basketball team, though, to go on a run and then lose to
That's true.
Sister Mary of the Poor.
And then, so this is their December. This is the basketball. USC, UCLA, who's not ranked, Stephen F. Austin, Stanford, Weber State, and then you get Illinois on January 2nd, and that team's ranked 19th.
Well, I'll be damned. You may be right. Maybe it is.
Well, I didn't say one or the other. No. I'm just saying it's closer than you think.
It is closer than you think.
Because if Oregon loses this weekend,
yeah.
I mean, when they certainly could.
I think they're going to beat Penn State. And then
you don't play till January 1st.
Yeah. I'm just excited about this. I'm excited about the playoff because I really do think that any team that gets in, I can't say Boise, they're just not going to have the horses and the depth to do it, but any team that gets in, you've got a chance. I just don't think there's any gimmies in this tournament. Even Boise on a week-to-week basis. I mean, they took Oregon to the wire. And, you know, we're all making fun of Ohio State today for essing the bet. Ohio State's going to be in this. And, you know, if Ohio State had just kicked a field goal, then we're not loving Ohio State today, but we're not making fun of them for losing to Michigan. And whether it's Ole Miss or Alabama or someone else that backs into the SEC, watch out for them. And as good as Oregon's been, Oregon has shown you that they're very vulnerable this year at times. They've played close games that could have gone either way against Idaho, Boise, Ohio State, and Wisconsin. So to think that someone can't upset them, Texas may be the most complete team, but their quarterback absolutely scares me at times because he looks very pedestrian, but their defense is absolutely silly good. You know, this is just going to be fun. This is going to be so fun. And the fact that the home team is the most consistent and the number one team in this whole thing. I mean, this is dream stuff. And I also think for Oregon, it sets up real nice because again, there's not that big scary team from the SEC that's just waiting for you from a couple years ago when, you know, Georgia had, what was it? Like 12 players off that team went in the first round. Like that team is ridiculous. And as good as this Oregon team is, and there's NFL guys littered throughout this, this is not those Miami teams or those Georgia teams or those Bama teams where it's just loaded with first round picks. In fact, when they play Penn State, the two best players on the field, it's not even close. It's going to be the tight end for Penn State, Warren, and then Abdullah Carter. Both of those guys, Carter is probably going to be a top 6 or 7 pick.
Isn't it Abdul?
I thought it's Abdullah. Is it Abdul?
I think it's
Abdul. I don't know if it's Abdul or Abdullah. Could be either. I'll look.
So he will be the best player on the field. Warren is going to be a top 15, probably top 20 pick. So, I mean,
it is Abdul.
Abdul. So they've got, I mean, they've got dudes, but there's no team that is just littered, including Oregon, with 15 and first-round picks.
That's the fun of it.
Yeah.
That's the fun of it. A lot of teams with a legit shot. Nobody ever talks about Notre Dame. They're in it, too.
Yeah.
You know?
If they just throw the ball, if Riley Leonard can be, because you know they play defense, they run the ball real well. It's kind of like the Will Howard thing. When Will Howard plays above average quarterback, Ohio State is really, really good. If Riley Leonard can just not be bad.
Well, Ohio State's got to run the ball.
Yes.
And yes.
And Notre Dame will run
Notre
the ball.
Notre Dame's the same. They have to run the ball, but that's what they do.
That's what they do. And I'm just not certain with Ohio State's O-line.
It's what they should do or should have done at the start of the season, but they've been so banged up, like 77 yards against Michigan, I think they got.
Yeah.
Yeah, not good.
Well, they're just at this point.
Might
I'm just
be
not,
bad timing for them.
I'm just not convinced that their O-line is championship worthy. And the other thing that Oregon has, and a lot of the teams, surprisingly healthy.
Yeah.
Now you get to this point in the year, and a lot of times you're really beat up, and Oregon is not. Oregon has been pretty healthy.
Well, and if they win this game, they get another bye week.
Yeah, Birch was back. Tez Johnson was back. He had a touchdown.
I mean, think about the advantage of that. So you had a bye week.
Yep.
You go, then you get your rivalry game. You come off a really tough game against Wisconsin, mm-hmm. but then you get a break to prepare for your rivalry game. Then you play the next week, Penn State. If you win that, you get another bye.
Yeah,
it's great. And then play a team coming off of a big playoff game.
Yep.
So I mean that
sets up well for
that's
you.
A big advantage.
After getting one of the toughest stretches in the country, they're the only Power Four school to play 8 straight weeks in conference, and then now it's setting up nice with the double byes.
Yeah, that late bye was key.
And what I love, and when you get into these playoff formats, when you look at the traditional teams that win championships, Michigan last year, those SEC teams. I really do think in order to win, I think you have to have a dominant defensive line. It's the great equalizer in all football, no matter what level you play at, dominant D-line. And to Dan Lanning's credit, when he came in here, he said it wasn't good enough. And when you look at some of the homegrown guys, when you look at Uyunglele and what he's bringing to the table playing on the outside. But remember, Birch is a transfer. Harmon is a transfer. Caldwell is a transfer. They have gone out and addressed it and hit home runs. I think if they win a national championship, no offense to Dillon Gabriel and the great offensive players they have, I think if they win a national championship, it will be that group up front.
I agree.
That leads them to a national title. And that's the one thing that they haven't had when they've played in those two things before is that group of guys.
That's right. I think there's one team. Well, maybe two, but the second one I'm going to drop because of their offensive problems, and that would be Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
The one team, though, that has all of that in spades is Texas.
Texas.
Dude, they looked nasty.
Yeah.
And look, I don't think A&M was all that good.
But they had nothing.
But, nothing dude, they could do nothing on them. If Texas didn't shoot itself in the foot with a punt block and an interception for a score, they shut out Texas A&M. And that quarterback at Texas A&M, he's I think he's just a freshman. But he had been showing some signs of life for them, and they switched from Wagman or whatever his name is to
this
kid.
Wagman.
And they did nothing against Texas. That if Quinn Ewers can just be the Quinn Ewers we thought, there's your favorite.
Yep. If we've talked about all year, if you're Oregon, who do you not want to see?
It's probably them now.
Yeah, there's no one there that again like terrifies you. But yes,
you could avoid them.
If there was a team that you could say just remove from the playoff, it would be Texas.
Yeah, but we weren't saying that
until
this week. So it changes. It does change. For a while, it was Georgia.
Yep.
And now Georgia's been exposed enough that you feel better against them.
For a little bit, maybe Bama, but
it was Ohio State.
Yeah, Ohio State, but their O-line. I think Texas, I just think that defense for Texas, I'm not, that's a group that scares me a little bit.
I don't think I'd want to play Notre Dame.
I need to see.
Okay, here's one. Would you rather play Notre Dame or Georgia?
Notre Dame.
I think I would. I think I'd rather play Notre Dame. And that's stupid because Notre Dame is better than Georgia.
Yes.
They just are.
They are absolutely better.
I still think Georgia has the better personnel and out of one game has a better shot of
beating
you.
It's a mental block. But honestly,
Georgia is always going to be scary.
Maybe it's that SEC Kool-Aid. I don't know.
I do think, though, like if I was looking at matchups, I think I'd rather play Georgia. There's some sort of mental block.
I mean, Georgia Tech just dropped 44 on them.
Yes, and Notre Dame plays defense and runs the ball real well, and that's kind of, I mean, think about like Wisconsin, who isn't very good, and their ability to play good defense like that and run the ball, drug you into deep water. Notre Dame is like Wisconsin, but like 100 times better.
You scored 16 points in that game.
Yeah, you're probably right in that if you're thinking about it logically. You don't want to play Notre Dame as opposed to Georgia.
On paper, Notre Dame is the tougher opponent, but just...
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to say that
reputation-wise.
It's hard to say that you want Georgia.
All right, well, now Matt Eberflus is going to get his own segment.
Hell yeah.
We have to talk about this.
It's
I've never seen anything like that in my entire life.
Neither has the NFL.
Life.
No, which is why he got his ass fired.
All life on Earth.
Yes.
That
It was Cristobal-esque.
No, worse. Worse. Never seen anything like it. That's next on The Fan. Well, we hosted my kid's fiance's family's from Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
She's from Detroit. And they were in town. We hosted them for Thanksgiving.
She have larceny in her heart?
Born with it.
Yeah. From the D, man.
And they came over. We didn't watch the game with them. They were somewhere else. And then they came over to eat. And I told them the second they walked in, I said, if Matt Eberflus has not been fired by now... They've waited too long. And I'm not even kidding.
It's unbelievable.
Not even kidding. I've never seen that. And you mentioned Mario Cristobal, and I get it. That was egregious. I'm trying to think of some other coaching gaffes where it's like, what is the coach thinking?
Yeah.
This one?
It's as bad as it gets.
It can't get worse.
And then he came out after the game and was like, well, I can't.
He always says that.
I agree with the way we handled the situation.
Yeah.
That was the worst part, that he liked what
he
they did.
What's to say?
We blew it.
He has to
That's
cover,
on me.
Yeah, he has to cover his own ass. Look, that dude.
Not when it's that bad, dude. You got to own that.
Yeah, I guess.
It's unbelievable.
But he didn't, and it's just, I still cannot wrap my head around what I watched.
Nope.
So with 36 seconds left,
mm-hmm.
Detroit's up, what was it, 23-20?
23-20.
And Chicago starts on the 1 yard line. They drive all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
36 seconds left. Caleb Williams is sacked back to the Detroit 41 yard line.
Yes, sir.
36 seconds. They have a timeout.
Mm-hmm.
They did not snap the ball until 4 seconds were left.
Yep. And then through an incomplete pass that even it had been completed. Ends the game anyways. It didn't go into the end zone. Never seen anything like it in my entire life. You had a timeout.
Getting a free pass.
Sitting in your pocket.
So Eberflus got fired, and rightly so. And he's had a lot of these gaffes.
Yeah.
But even, you know what I think is an interesting question is, if he were not thought of so poorly, but still having, you know, a poor record at Chicago. If he really didn't have any history of this, do you think they fire him after that? If that was like a one-off?
Yeah, 4-8, and that happens, you're getting canned anyways. But yeah, you're probably getting fired at the end of the year, but that was the, I guess, I mean, it's an outright mutiny. They said in the locker room, there was a mutiny.
Of course, there should have been. It's like, what are you even doing? We're out here fighting our ass off for you, and you're standing over there with your thumb up your ass with a timeout. They said Eberflus 5-19 in one score games is the worst ever for a head coach ever in the NFL with a minimum of 20 games as 20 games experience.
Yeah, it makes no sense because when he got sacked, second and 20, right? And then, you get sacked at the 41.
No, it's third and 26.
Yeah, but when he got sacked, so I'm saying he gets sacked, right, on second down. So it's third down.
Yes.
Right? You have 36 seconds. Call a timeout.
Yes.
Get your field goal team ready. Even if you say, hey, you got 36 seconds. Even if you say, hey, we're going to throw this to the middle of the field, okay? You still have time to run out and kick a field goal. when you get a sack there, you cannot sit there and let the clock bleed out. It's unconscionable.
You either have to decide you're going to go kick the field goal right now, or yes, you're going to call the timeout right away. Right. It's one of two things.
But what is Caleb Williams getting a pass here? Because I know Eberflus got fired, and rightly so, but
yes,
what the hell was he thinking?
I don't know.
I mean, I know he's a rookie, but my God.
From an operational standpoint, you cannot have a bigger mess. First off, you're Caleb Williams there. The one thing you can't do is take a sack. And then the second, like, you mill around, and I get he was trying to hurry up there at the end, but I mean, when it got to like 14, I was like, oh my God. What are they doing?
Well, he
and then I, because he was clapping, and then I thought to myself, all right, they got a timeout. Like, it's fine. They're just, so when he snapped the ball, I was like, oh my God, they better just throw something, a quick slant right over the middle, try to get 6 yards, call timeout. Dude, when he threw the ball downfield, that's Will Howard-esque. I'm like, what?
So when, I'll see if I can find the quote. He said something about it like, Eberflus had called, or they had sent in a play that he said was going to end the game.
Yeah.
So he tried to check out of that play to one that would be better, but with that one, which it wasn't.
With a clock running. That is an abortion of an end of the game, and everyone's head should roll.
Incredible.
That is.
Is that an indictment on Caleb Williams, or do you just chalk that up to him being a rookie?
It's an indictment on him, but
that is shockingly unaware.
But he's a rookie, and this goes back to, I just think, top to bottom, that coaching staff. When you look at like what Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels are playing in right now versus what Caleb Williams is operating in, I just can't say it enough. Coaching and situational awareness, it is the lifeblood of a young quarterback, and it felt like it was getting better once they fired Waldron and they went to this new guy, was it Brown or whatever, but this whole thing, for it's just a lost season. It's a lost season for Caleb Williams. It's a lost season for the Chicago Bears, and to have the best team in football, not on the ropes, but a chance to at least tie that game and send it to OT. I just, like I said, he should have been fired. If I am the owner, if I'm the GM, I'm meeting him in the locker room afterwards and say, you don't get on the plane to go home. I'm sorry.
And that's an indictment on the Bears. The fact that they let him do a press conference the next day or 2 days later, and then he said, yeah, I'm going to talk with the guys after this, and they fired him later that day. Why did you go through all of that? That was dumb.
Well, I would guess that the GM probably has to talk to the owner. And
well, but now you're a day and a half removed from it.
And then, I know, but I think that there are,
yeah, there's steps.
Yeah,
there's, or just tell him, don't come to this press conference yet. We'll reschedule. Yeah, I don't know.
And to go up there and defend it and say that you liked the way that it was run and just,
ugh. Well, at the very least, when you see that Caleb is not paying attention to the clock, you have to then call the timeout.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how much time's left. Just protect him a little bit and say, okay, he clearly isn't getting it. Because you can talk to him all the way up to what, like?
It's like 15 seconds or whatever. You're in his ear.
Yeah.
So
that's another one.
I saw this stat. In the last 30 NFL seasons, there have been 1,501 games that ended with the losing team losing by 1 and 3 points, basically within a field goal. The Bears are the only team to get it inside the 30 and not at least get a field goal off.
They get a field goal off. Yeah.
To at least attempt a
field
goal.
The only one.
Out of 1,500 games in the last 30 years.
And they had a timeout.
How many coaches are lining up for that gig, though? See, I think a lot are.
I would think so too,
because of Caleb Williams.
Yeah, it's a decent setup, and it's a good roster.
Yeah,
you know, it's a good roster. Yeah. Yeah. And realize too that Matt Eberflus, and this is on the Bears for being dumbasses. I'd have to go back and pull it up, but he should have been fired last year.
Agreed.
And they had that little late run at the end of the year. Do you remember? I think I got to pull up and see, but they won like 4 games at the end of the year or whatever, and ended up saving his job. It was against all backup quarterbacks. Yeah, they went on that run where they beat...
they should have never run it back with him.
They beat the Vikings, the Lions, the Cardinals, and Atlanta. And all of them had, I believe, backup quarterbacks in the... Like, really? So beating the backup quarterbacks for a bunch of crappy teams that...
Goff didn't play?
Pull it up.
Or maybe their spot was already punched or something like that?
Nope. Okay, I stand corrected. Then that was the one that they had. But like winning a bunch of garbage teams, like beating the Vikings 12-10, that's what brought him back. It's their own fault for bringing in a dead man walking in the first place.
All right, can we really be bothered to shower?
I'm going to say yes, but
depends if you're Fran Brown.
Jeez.
They won, so he could shower.
He said that. He said, "I got you, Dabo Swinney. I'm gonna get washed tonight."
Got that soap.
All right, that'll kick off the club next on the Fan.